Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Lou Trek Show.
Show number 41 for Monday, February 1st, 2010.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
And now, two people who go together like Stephen Hawking and karaoke night.
Ha ha, very funny.
Your host, Lou Costanzo and Brian D'Antimore.
Teacher, do you love me? Teacher, will you care for me? Even if I turn away or disobey, I go astray.
Devil inside, the devil inside. Every single one of us, the devil inside.
You said my name.
Of course she said your name. She was calling the roll.
But it's more than that. I feel that Miss Offmore really likes me.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this special edition of the Lou Trek Show, a tribute to teachers everywhere. Our main webpage is www.loutrekshow.com. You can send us topic suggestions as well as questions and comments. Our email address is loutrekshow, and that is all one word, @gmail.com. Keep your emails somewhat brief and to the point, and we will work them in as a part of a future show. You can follow us on Twitter by going to loutrekshow.com/Twitter. And you can even be our friend on Facebook by going to loutrekshow.com/Facebook. Same thing with MySpace. /MySpace. You can send us voicemail on Skype by plugging in loutrekshow, and that's all one word on Skype. Or you can even call us directly at area code 630-WWW-TREK. That's 630-WW-TREK. Excuse me, 630-WWW-TREK or 999-8735 for those who like numbers. Tonight's show is all about teachers and education. Today's education, tomorrow's education, and maybe even future education, what Starfleet officers go through to maintain their education. And to do this, we have a special guest for tonight's show, but more on that later. First, we need to get our co-host. Mr. Co-host, bring me... No, can't do it. I can't sing. And now, a man who apparently had one too many hand slaps with a ruler as a child that he ended up on the Indianapolis school system's wanted dead or alive list, preferably dead, your co-host, Brian D'Antimore. Hold on. All right, Brian, since everybody knows you giggled, what's going on, buddy? What's happening,
well,
Brian?
Well, first off, the Indianapolis school system has no idea who I am.
Oh, okay.
It's the Miss Sittawall school system.
And they're the ones that want you dead or alive, preferably dead.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And here's how it's spelled.
Uh-oh. Uh-huh. Click, click, click. He's got to look it up, folks. Everybody, you got about 10, 15 minutes. We'll be back.
M-I-S-S-S-I-N-E-W-A.
Yeah, that's the way I would have spelled it, too. T-O-O. But I'm not going to go there, because I was bad at spelling. S-P-E-E-L-I-N-G. Spelling. And now, you might be asking yourself, why are we doing a thing on teachers and education? Well, the honest truth is, Tuesday night of this week, last week, that is, we went to media night at my daughter's school. And basically, you just go up to the library, get on the Mac, and play. And so I used it as an opportunity for her to explain to me how the Mac works, because quite frankly, I have no clue. So I had to rely on an 8-year-old to show me how to run a Mac. And she did. She did great. She showed me. And the teacher that was running the media night was Mrs. Adams. And she was such a sweet lady. And I told her Alexa had her own website. And so she asked how to get there. And I showed her, you know, how to get there. And then I realized, oops, you know, it probably was back 7-8 years ago when I built this web page. It was funny to say life isn't like a box of chocolates. It's more like a jar of jalapenos. What you do today might burn your blank tomorrow. And I realized that was on the page as she was standing over my shoulder, and I was embarrassed. I thought, oh, my – no, you don't want to show this. Matter of fact, I think you might want to get rid of this from the history so no other kid stumbles on it. I felt horrible. So I immediately went home that night and changed that website that hadn't been changed in 7 years and got rid of that jar of jalapenos thing. And so I put a new quote on there. And then I thought, you know, she said she would listen to the show, so I was going to put a shout-out to Mrs. Adams and, you know, maybe her other teacher, her main teacher, Mrs. Miller. But we'll have a little interview on this. I'm going to throw on the show, but maybe we'll do. But nice long story.
Kapla, Mrs.
Exactly.
Miller.
Kapla. She'll have no clue what you just said. But what he said was success. And, so anyway, let's go ahead and do a recorded interview that I did a little bit earlier. Here's another very special person that we wanted to bring on and give her opinions. All right, everybody, and now we have a special guest who would like to say a few words. What is your name?
Alexa.
Alexa, and you are my daughter, right? Tell them how old you are.
Eight.
And what grade are you in?
Second.
Second, that's correct. Now, who's your teacher?
Mrs. Miller.
Mrs. Miller. And she was your kindergarten teacher, wasn't she?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And what are the who was your first grade teacher?
Mrs. Magnuson, who I liked. And hello, everybody.
Oh, she said hello, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Okay. Now, what was Mrs. Magnuson's favorite thing?
Having classes.
Okay, what is her favorite animal?
A penguin.
Penguin. In fact, you got her a penguin for once, didn't you?
I got her lots of penguins.
Okay, now, what other teacher did you want to say hi to?
Our librarian.
Librarian. What's her name?
Miss Adams.
Miss Adams. And is that the one I met on media night?
Yes.
She's a very nice teacher, isn't she?
A little.
A little. What
actually,
about?
Yes.
She checks out your books, right?
Yes.
Okay. And remember the two you lost? Or actually, you didn't lose them, but they got destroyed in the car. What was the name of them?
Who got destroyed in a car? Because they don't know.
Yeah, the books that we had to buy because they burned
no,
up.
No, it's David. No David.
Yeah, there were two David books, like David No or something, or...
David gets in trouble and no David.
Now, what do you like about your school?
It's so nice.
Yeah? Tell me why.
Because you can have lots of fun.
Uh-huh. What's your favorite subject?
About first grade.
No, I'm serious. Now, be serious. What's your favorite subject, like math or reading or what?
I like math.
You like math? What else do you like? Lunch?
No.
I used to like lunch when I was in school. Okay, well, are there any friends you want to say hi to? She had to think about this, and then she got the hiccups. No, just say who you want to say hi to.
Maddie,
who else?
Sebastian.
Well, hello, Maddie, and hello, Sebastian.
And Sebastian's sister, Sierra.
Sierra, and don't forget...
I'm her friend on Facebook.
Oh, wonderful. And don't forget, what's his name?
Sebastian?
Nope. No, the other boy that you like.
James.
That's the one. Okay. Well, hey, Alexa, I want to thank you for coming on the show. And give Daddy a hug and kiss. You're still on, yeah. Okay, love you. I don't know. Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was my interview with Alexa. What'd you think of that?
I thought it was cute, personally.
That was funny. You can detect the ADHD. If she saw hyperactive, that she gave herself the hiccups. So, yeesh.
Poor girl.
Poor girl. She's probably still got them. But how about a guest this week? Do you want a guest?
Yeah, I know she did bring a guest in, and did he get a hold of you, or did you get a hold of him?
You know, I'm not exactly sure. But it worked out in the end. We're talking about Eric Stubblefield. Mr. Eric, are you there, sir?
I am indeed.
He is indeed. Tell us a little bit about yourself. And
well, in real life, I'm an assistant principal in the northwest mountainous corner of North Carolina at a pre-K through 8 elementary school here. Mm-hmm. I'm a big Star Trek fan, and I'm a member of Starfleet International, the International Star Trek Fan Association.
Cool. All right. And
what do you think about the new iPad that just came out from Apple?
I'd be interested in taking a spin with it. The price seemed a little high to me, but I'm a big, big fan of my Touch. So I look forward to seeing the pad. Maybe I can do a few more things with it.
Look at it from your end. Okay, you work in a school system, okay?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Would it not be easier on the kids to have their books on an iPad where they can just go right into the book and have it right there? Wouldn't it be easier for them to work on their homeworks and get stuff done? The applications at the school end is beyond imagination of what you can do. And it don't just remind you of a Federation pad.
Exactly, and I think the Apple's iTouch is the same way. Without a doubt, many of the textbooks, they're very costly. You're talking anywhere from $60 to $100 a pop. And, you use them for usually 4 to 6 years. They go out of date. They get misused. To bring that information up on a pad or a netbook or something like that, especially with all the multimedia that the publishers are offering now, I can really see that going somewhere in the classroom application.
Couldn't you just imagine the next slogan, "No child left without an iPad"?
Well, yeah, I tell you what, that would make a lot of sense. The funny thing is a lot of our students are leading the way in a technology manner. You mentioned about your 8-year-old guiding you through the Mac. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what it's like in schools. There are a lot of great technology coming into schools, but the students pick it up a lot of times a lot faster than the instructors. So we've really got to change our paradigm in how we teach, how students are learning, and really utilize the technology.
Amen. Gotcha.
Okay. And this falls back to what we're talking about the subject today, which is education in the Star Trek format, okay? Referring back to Star Trek 11, okay? Christopher Pike said, where are you going to be? The noted repeat level genius repeat offender in the Midwest.
Yeah.
It's education progresses as technology progresses and gets better, and people get to learn more as they go through school.
That's true. My favorite quote by Mark Twain is, "I never let my schooling interfere with my education." And we got to get away from the every child is sitting there straight as an arrow, hands folded in front of them, and quiet, and think that that's a good in education. It's just got to change. So when you're right, we lose a lot of geniuses, we lose the creativity, and a lot of children are left behind, if you want to use that phrase, not because the schools are necessarily failing, but we're just not able to change at a rate that society and technology is changing.
You know, one thing interesting about teachers, when I was young, of course, there was no internet, and a personal computer took two floors of the house. Now
UNIVAC, right?
Oh yeah, and, you know, my teachers,
Commodore 64.
Yeah, you know, my
need I say anymore? Or do yeah. or the Tandy 1000.
Good enough. My teachers could peg when I was using a Cliff's Notes. Now, how do you get around the 2010 Cliff's Notes, which is the entire World Wide Web? How do you determine these things?
Well, unfortunately, what a lot of schools, a lot of classic educators' philosophy is shut them down. You know, turn off your cell phones. Don't use this. Don't use that. You need to go back to that set of encyclopedias over there rather than utilizing the web. It's kind of an interesting phenomenon. I think, you know, it's a very important thing, and this is just my personal opinions, a very important thing to know the basics of your math. It's the very important thing to know the basics of reading and writing and speaking well, because that's what gets you places. When you really are looking for the future, it's not just about memorizing facts. It's about how to access data, how to analyze it, how to kind of chew it up and spit it out and reform new pieces of knowledge and distribute that to others. Well, you know, that's exactly what the students are doing when they go to reference things on the internet, or they're using their smartphones to access, unfortunately, you know, answers to quizzes and things. But are we teaching them how, or are we teaching them what? And if we're only teaching them what, well, then we're stuck back in the 1800s. If we're teaching them how to go out and search out the information they need to be creative people and to change the world around them, not just let themselves be changed, then we'll really need to utilize exactly what you're talking about with the iPad, with the use of the smartphones, communication in groups. That's what we're looking for. We're not automatons, and we're not robots, and we all don't work for Henry Ford in an assembly line anymore.
Hmm. Yeah, amen on that.
Okay, well, the reason why we ran into you was I did a Google search for Starfleet Academy to see about things. You know, I was looking for more of the fictional world of Star Trek and how Starfleet officers would go through the academy. But then I came across your website. You want to tell us about your website and what you do?
Well, with the Starfleet Academy, we are kind of a branch of the Starfleet International. The fan group. There are a couple of different aspects of it. Starfleet Academy is four members, and it allows you to become a part of the Starfleet, the Star Trek world, as well as the real world. If you were to go to our website and look through, we have many different institutes and colleges. Some are based entirely in Trek. Others are based in real life, such as say like a wilderness survival. I'm the director of the College of Fantasy Realm, and we have a lot of selections of films mm-hmm. that deal in fantasy. Students can go into here, request an exam or a course. It's on their own to view the film or to research a topic and take the exam and send it in to the director. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a self-guided, totally voluntary academy to enhance your knowledge either in the Star Trek universe or real life.
Now, have you guys went back to the format that you guys have to, when you start up a ship, you have to go through X amount of courses to be in a position?
If you were to start or want to start a chapter, there are a couple things that you need to do. One of them is called Officers Training School. And that kind of gives you a rundown of how Starfleet, the organization, works. And that's something that a commanding officer of a chapter and, you know, many members would need to know. You know, what should you do, shouldn't you do? This is about fun, freedom. What kind of activities do you want to do? Those kinds of things. And then further on, an officer's command college. Now, those are for individuals. There is something that your commanding officers would need to do. It's called the Vessel Readiness Certification Program.
Yeah, and, I know about that.
Yeah, so within that, you've got you and your crew members are kind of working on to certify that you basically know what you're doing. You're not just staking a flag out there, but you're working to be a part of Starfleet, the organization, as well. And so you're not just saying, I'm a Star Trek fan and I wanted to create my own chapter, well, that's fine. But if you say, well, we don't want people with blue skin joining us, well, that's not what Star Trek, that's not what Starfleet International is all about. And so those kind of trainings are in place.
Well, yeah, I'm not so sure.
I think we got him confused there, Eric.
Yeah. Well, that's okay.
You know, Eric, I tell you, I am very much into Star Trek. I've got all the episodes of all the series, but I don't belong.
I'm a little envious.
Yeah, but I don't belong to a group like you and Brian do. So, Brian, mm-hmm. why don't you tell him about, you know, your group?
Oh, Starfleet Command?
Mm-hmm.
That's Well, actually, you got to keep in mind, not only do I belong to Starfleet Command, but I belong to ICAF, the Ring of Fire Fleet, the Empire, soon to be CAG. I belong to many, multiple organizations. If I talked about all of them, I'd be taking up the whole show.
Well, you know, and I must say, you know, Starfleet International is not the only fan organization or organizations kind of built around that. There are many, many great organizations. It's just that I happen to have heard about Starfleet and go from there.
Yeah, Starfleet Command is based kind of like what off his is. It's basically Federation ships and organizations. We're set up in star bases where he's set up in regions, if I remember right, aren't you?
Yeah,
Eric.
Several regions, yes.
Starfleet Command set up in two sectors. One is everything in the on the America continents, and then the other one's set across the pond over there in Europe and Asia, and and Australia. We're kind of basically the same situation as Eric here. As in, but we don't have the extensive training program like they do. Where our ships, if we have a new ship, then we have a manual that we give out to all the captains. It's a captain's manual and an officer's manual. And then they also have a ship sponsor. Like right now, I'm covering Planetary Outpost Stephen Hawking. I sit and I assist the captain on how to fill out the reports that are needed on it and help him with projects that he might be working on. And then I report into my Starbase commander and to the Admiralty Board to see if he's ready to run on his own. Then they release me to another ship in the sector to help out. Or I'll help out like two or three ships in a sector depending on what's going on in Starfleet Command. As an example,
mm-hmm.
where with Eric's, they've got what is it, a 40-50 page manual that you got to go through, that you got to each month you have to do a certain amount of things or you don't get your certification. And I do know that you have, or are you still using the ship sponsor, the closest ship?
Yeah. Each there are hundreds and hundreds of chapter, and I think, I may be wrong with this, I think there's 14 regions around the globe, much like Starfleet Command is. With so many people, like I said previously, there's over 4,000 members. There's just a lot of things that are more kind of stick-to-itive as far as an organization. So you want to have a minimum number of people and move forward. So if there's only going to be two or three people who are active, it might be better for that group instead of trying to start their own chapter than to become a part of a different chapter. So it's similar in many ways.
Okay. And the Klingons, basically, like right now in the Ring of Fire Fleet, I'm the acting regent for everything east of the Rockies. So I have everything. I have all from the Mississippi River east and half of the Mississippi River West, which covers a large, broad area, an undiscovered country. Because Ring of Fire Fleet is basically a California, Utah, everything on the West Coast in the Rockies, in a Klingon organization. Whereas as ICAF is mostly an East Coast organization, I'm the first officer in like Battle Group Indiana. I help people who want to be Klingons in Indiana directly with ICAF. I help with the ships building ships, maintaining support for them and all that as well in ICAF. And the Empire is just basically one great big large Klingon organization with all the Klingons merging into that to help support each other. And then I get support from the Klingon Armada International, which is Kai, and then CAG, which is Klingon Assault Group in the South. I get help from them also from time to time here in Indiana. So that's basically how most of the organizations.
Yeah, they're very similar with all the one big purpose is for people to have fun, to experience life kind of with a Star Trek slant. And I would suggest to everyone listening, if you're a big fan and you want to explore that, then become a member. I'm not sure what the membership is for Starfleet Command. I know Starfleet International.
It's $12 for one person, 15 family.
Right, and same thing with Starfleet International. I think it's 15 for an individual and 22 for a family. So they're very reasonable to go and explore and grow as a fan. A lot of chapters. A lot of them are based on, okay, we want to sit around and watch Star Trek episodes. Some of them are like, we're really big on doing community service, raising money and things. We have our Starfleet Marine Corps that really embraces like Toys for Tots and things like that. And the bottom line is you do good things with a Star Trek spirit.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's basically what the basis of almost every Star Trek organization is. From the smallest ship down to the large, massive juggernauts like SFI and Starfleet Command. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, then tell everybody how we can find you and sign up.
Well, if you're interested in Starfleet International, the easiest way is to go to our website, and that is www.sfi.org. And that's our homepage. And from there, it's a plethora of information. There's a very easily to go to About Us and click on membership and costs and perks, discounts and things like that. And it's just quite easy. It'll let you go in there and find a chapter either near you or find different chapter types. Or like I am, as I said, a member of a correspondence chapter, so I don't physically meet with the people in my group, but I'm interested in my group is across the pond, as you say, over in Australia, New Zealand, and because there's nothing quite near where I live right now. So anyone who would be interested in taking part in the Starfleet Academy through Starfleet International or the Starfleet Marine Corps would just become a member of Starfleet that way and let their journey begin.
Great. Okay.
Well, as an example for you, Lou, you could join in. Say you don't have no chapters in your area, but you have like a correspondence chapter. Mm-hmm. Say in your state, you could be a part of the correspondence chapter, and whatever their requirements are, you could just sign up for that, or you could join any correspondence chapter for that matter. If I remember right on SFI.
That's okay. Right. You know, exactly. If you meet, you're kind of in your region. But if you choose, you say, I'm too busy. I've got this podcast I do every week. I can't make monthly or weekly events. Then there are many, many correspondence chapters in the United States and around the globe that would be happy to have you on board and contribute to Star Trek fandom.
That the USS Indiana is another example of a correspondence ship. They're a correspondence ship, and they're the only ship in SFI in where I live out here in Indiana.
Okay.
Yeah, some states and region, of course, have more chapters than others. But again, we're all there to have fun. You can't take yourself too seriously sometimes. But again, the reason you're joining as a member is not for other people. You do it for yourself and what you can do for others.
Right.
And see, the Starfleet Command has been – I know some of the higher-ups have talked with his organization on how to help them help us do what they're doing with the correspondence chapters, because we've had people who, because the way Star Trek organizations are, we've had people who want to join up, but they don't have no commands in their areas, but they want to be a part of it, okay? And so they're working on doing correspondence chapters as well. In other words, they'll do, if they want to do something, they'll do it in their local area, but they'll report to the ship that they belong to, as an example. Be like, example, Yulu. Would be a correspondence on the USS Gorkon, but you would do your charity work there where you're at in Omaha, Nebraska, until at such time there's a chapter built over there.
Cool. All right. Well, hey, Eric, you know, thank you for coming on. I'm looking at the website, and you've got links to conventions.
And yes.
We would like to, you know, like to consider putting the one that Brian goes to, Starbase Indy, there in Indianapolis. I'm sure Brian can tell you all about it, but it's starbaseindy.com, right, Brian?
Yeah. It's the Midwest's only fan-base run convention. We're not Slant and Fedora, whatever that other – there's like three or four organizations that run conventions. None of them run this. This is ran by a fan, by a group of fans in Indiana. Down in Indianapolis on Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah,
that's November 26th through 28th, 2010.
Yeah.
Indianapolis Marriott East, I see that.
And I actually drove out to Indianapolis day after Thanksgiving. Wasn't that fun, Brian?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, see, my problem, Eric, is I work retail, and, you know, I work... being in retail,
Black Friday,
and getting Black Friday off without being dead is virtually impossible.
Wow!
So I worked Black Friday, you know, my shift from 4 a.m. until 2 p.m. Then I jumped in the car and drove. I don't remember where, but it was just an offshoot.
Illinois.
Yeah, somewhere in Illinois, Peoria. That's it, Peoria. Stopped at Peoria overnight, and then went off to Indianapolis the next morning, about 3 or 4 hours later. And, boy, we had fun. We broadcasted live from Starbase Indy. We had we interviewed Garrett Wong. Oh, wasn't that fun, Brian?
Yep.
Garrett Wong, what a guy. So it was a lot of fun. I had a blast.
The conventions and the road trips getting there are really a big part of having good experiences with friends and peers, regardless of which conference or which thing you go to. Again, I love going to them, and I wish everyone would.
You're not going to believe what I did to pass the time during the road trip. You remember when I told you I have all of the episodes of all of the series? I also have them on MP3. And so I was listening to those all the way on the road.
So you listened to the episodes. You didn't watch them, of course, because you were driving. But no, you were listening to all the episodes. Listening.
Yeah. That's what kind of tricky I am. I mean, I'm hardcore. I love it. And yeah, I
bet the best thing about that is where you can sit there. Like if you're watching Arena from the original series and you're hearing the hissing from the Gorn, I bet you can visualize Kirk making the cannon, you know, with the diamonds right there in your head. You don't need the screen.
Here we go. Let's see if we could do this. Anyway,
it's not bad.
You try to do it.
Either that, or you're at the dentist with one of those little vacuum sucks.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, just the sound of the dentist makes me cringe. You know. Okay. Anyway, well, all I could say about the dentist is, you know, nitrous oxide.
Sometimes your best friend, huh?
Absolutely. And my dental insurance is the only one I've ever heard of that actually covers it. But that's a different story. I digress. Yeah, okay, so if you could put Starbase Indy on there, that'd be great. Another one we're trying to get into this year is Trekfest in Riverside, Iowa. We haven't heard back from Trekfest, so that may or may not be happening, Brian.
Yeah, I know. We'll just have to keep on the Lobo. I may have to send a captain's flash message to him and ask him what's going on.
All right, you do that.
one of the nice things about being a commanding officer, we all the captains have a link up to each other through Starfleet Command. In other words, I could get a hold of one of the North Carolina ships because I have the URL for that captain. Okay, so if I need to send a flash message to a captain, I can send a flash message to the captain and say, "Hey, what's going on here?"
Okay.
So and now, then I can get an answer from him faster than maybe what Lou might be able to.
Give that your best shot, Brian. I appreciate that. All right. So, Brian, now, excuse me. So, Eric.
Yes.
let me get my people straight here. I'm getting my peeps straight. Okay. You're sitting in your office at work, right? You're sitting at the desk. You're looking across at this kid who's done something wrong, because they always do. How many pieces of flair do you have in your office of Star Trek? Got him on this one, I think. How many?
Let's see. You know, I try to keep it muted in the office. I do have a couple of things here or there, each one of them a memory from something or other. But Star Trek related, I have you know those little – they're not bobbleheads, but you know the little figures that came out with the Star Trek movie at Burger King?
Oh, yes.
I have all the characters. They're lining my shelf.
Good.
So –
All right.
I do have that, and I think that may be it at the school.
Do you ever find yourself quoting the Prime Directive once in a while?
No. Not so much the Prime Directive, but I try to resist the Klingon proverb things. Revenge is a dish served cold.
Go ahead, Brian. Tell them.
Revenge is a dish best served cold.
Yes.
All right. Like Khan said, it's very cold in my office, so
yeah.
No, it's
okay,
but no, I think that's all I have for Star Trek. I do happen to have a couple of Star Wars things there also. The kids ask me about it all the time.
What did he just say?
I know.
Hey Eric, guess what? Yes. I got. I got the glass display from that movie.
Yeah, me too.
Really,
Burger King.
Oh
yep.
Yeah.
Oh. With yeah, the set of four glasses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have the display.
Oh, the display.
Yeah.
The display for Burger King.
I hate Burger King. So I went up there and said, what do I have to order just to get the glasses? And she said, I'll just sell them to you. Cool.
Yeah, they're like a dollar cheaper if you just buy them, or a dollar more expensive to buy them straight out.
Yep.
Well, see, there's a story. I bought three sets. Well, four sets, actually. One is in my kitchen cabinet that I use. Another one is packed up, you know, to put away for posterity and perhaps future eBay purchases. And I sent a set to my commanding officer and the XO of my chapter in Australia and New Zealand. I shipped them over there. It cost like $50 to ship them, but it was worth it because they don't have that kind of thing in New Zealand. So they were thrilled when they got it. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, hey, again, Brian, do you have anything else for him?
Nope. Just ready to talk about Starfleet Academy. We've talked about everything else, but what were you about to say?
Well, okay. Well, what about it, Brian?
What do you think would need to be to get into Starfleet Academy if you and I and Lou just... We just got recruited in Starfleet Academy. What do you think we would need to get in the Starfleet Academy?
A higher GPA than 1.2.
that would help.
That would certainly help.
Man, I tell you. Well, I don't know. Wesley Crusher had to go through all these awful tests, and he failed at it, and he was supposed to be a genius. A whiny genius, mind you, but a genius. I don't know.
The boy?
Maybe if we just stole a car and went riding around on motorcycles and got in bar fights, that might work.
That would. How about the Cold Void Starburst or whatever it was called? What was that?
Huh.
Remember that one? When that's what Wesley got in trouble for.
Oh, when he was part of the Red Squadron.
Yes, when Nicholas Lacarno...
The Precision Flying Squadron is what it was. It'd be like the Precision Marching Bands and... Mm-hmm. In our time.
And the group
was... Yeah, like the Blue Angels or something.
Yes. The group was run by Nicholas Lacarno, who had to legally change his name to Tom Paris. Remember that?
I don't remember that one.
Oh, that's bad.
That's bad. Well, the same guy played Nicholas Locarno on the episode. What was it? The First Duty on Next Generation?
The First Duty, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they had to sacrifice keeping the secret for doing the right thing.
Correct.
Right. Picard gave him the lecture there, yeah.
Yep. And it's the same guy who plays Paris.
Something I thought was very funny was that there was actually still a groundskeeper, even back at that time, weeding the various plants and stuff there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would think by now it would be automated.
Well, it's kind of maybe a hands-on approach. And you remember Boothby was there not just as a groundskeeper. I mean, he served a function well beyond that. It was more of a hobby to him than what he thought may be a menial task. And besides, all the academy members, all the students, the cadets, they all went to him for advice. So, you know, maybe he's like a covert, unofficial advisor. How about that?
Right.
To everyone.
Or he was an advisor, mm-hmm. but he decided, well, you know, I could do better if I'm sitting out here on the ground just being the nobody and then let the victims come to me like the victims do for the fly to the spider web.
Well, yeah. another way you can look at it is
he was playing a harmless role. He's harmless, so people trust him.
Well, one other way you can look at it is he shaped the Federation without having the responsibility.
All he had was a rake and a pair of clippers. I mean, that's amazing. Two tools to shape the Federation.
And a lot of wisdom, I will add.
Well, I think he got some of that from Bill Bixby.
Very much a lot of wisdom.
He got that from Bill Bixby.
The Incredible Bulk. The Incredible Bulk.
Martian was one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And he's no longer with us, unfortunately. Ray Walston was his name.
Ray Walston. Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, he was good. I'd sure love to interview him, but it's too late. Too late.
Well, you got to get them when you can get them.
Yeah, after they're dead, it's just a little too late.
Maybe we can get Christopher Plummer. That would be a great interview.
Yeah.
he was touring around with the stage version of Sound of Music. I think he would have some good insight.
Christopher Plummer. I would love to interview him, actually. All right, well then, Christopher Plummer would be an awesome one. I've always liked him ever since way back on, remember the movie Somewhere in Time? Christopher Reeve.
Oh, yeah.
Loved it. But, we were talking in the background here about me being as big as a battleship, was that? Or, what was that, Brian?
Yeah, big as a battleship.
Now, he would know, because what branch of the military were you in, Brian?
I would know.
Come on, you do too. What branch of the military were you in?
You ready for this? Navy.
Well, you got to be careful. If you say that word, you know, the Navy word.
Yeah, we get the really people.
They want you. They want you. They want you as a new recruit.
All right, well, again, thank you very much, Eric, and I thank you for adding me on Facebook. I did accept you on Facebook, and I went to your pictures, and I happened to see that little bundle of joy. William is his name, and he's how old?
He's 10 days old now.
10 days old. Is he your first?
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's wonderful.
My wife and I are very happy.
Congratulations. Maybe.
Thank you.
He'll grow up to be a wonderful boy and not be ADHD like my sweetie face girl that was on a little earlier, and we did a little interview with her, but she's 8 years old. And I tell you, obviously you worked your way up from a teacher, right?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
I don't know about up. That's not, up is, I'd just say different.
Different. You worked your way.
Yes.
Well, I tell you, based on what poor Mrs. Miller has to deal with every day of her life, and, you guys do a lot, and God bless you for it. And we'll keep away that church and state thing, but, President Obama, bless you for doing what you do, because I couldn't do it. I'd already be in prison for murder. So thank God somebody, thank Obama somebody does it, not me.
Had a good time.
Yes. Well, you know,
you wouldn't want me to do it. I'm a Klingon. You know how I deal with politicians.
A politician? We're talking about children. Oh, that's right. I guess there's no difference, is there?
Not really. No. Not with middle schoolers.
Yeah, not really. Yeah.
Just wait till she gets 10.
Can you imagine going to Principal Dedimore's office and seeing the bat left in his hand?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
No, I wouldn't have a bat lift. I'd have a mech lift.
You know, nothing says you have to threaten them with it.
The small handheld version.
Yes.
Yeah.
Metlock. Yeah. You don't have to threaten them with it. You just have to be holding it. Then again, I guess weapons in school, you'd be automatically expelled yourself.
Yeah. You
know what I would do?
You could make it a trophy and hang it on the wall.
Yeah. That's still a weapon.
No. What I would do is I would have a big Klingon flag sitting in the office, mm-hmm. with the U.S. flag, of course. And the Federation of Planets too, because I belong to them too. And I would sit there and I would have the Klingon one unfurled though, so they could see the Klingon. Immediately, no. And then I would have two lightsabers sitting on the wall, both of them Sith. Mm-hmm. Then they know right off the bat, you don't mess with me.
Uh-huh. Well, let me ask you this, Eric: if a bat left would be a weapon, what about a Klingon disruptor? Would that be okay?
You know, I guess it would matter if it was in the manner in which you had it and if the power cells were charged or not.
How about Klingon antagonizer?
That would be good. In the Mirror Universe, you know?
You know what one is, don't you?
Me
you
either.
Know what one is, Eric?
No.
Yeah, what? Go ahead. I must have the wrong answer.
It's a Klingon device used for interrogation. You put it on their head and it basically rots your brain away trying to get the answers from you.
So that seems to make a lot of sense from a Klingon point of view. I want to get things out of his brain, so I'm going to rot it away and make it useless.
Good.
I was thinking of the antagonizer in the Mirror Universe, or even how about a Klingon pain stick? You know, where they go through the rite of passage when they get out of eighth grade and go on to high school. We could just send them down the line.
There you go.
Oh no! Are you kidding me? Have you ever had one of them used on you?
I'm gonna take a guess that nobody's had them used on them.
Oh, you ain't been to Chicago, have you?
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right. Well, again, Eric, thank you very much.
They make the real ones in Chicago.
Cool enough. Eric, check out the website, lewtrekshow.com. Tell everybody you were on the show. Maybe you might get us a few listeners.
And if you want to find about my organizations that I belong to, you can go to www.ussgorkon.com, and I have a link to every – I have a link to Starbase Indy. I also have a link to ICAF, Ring of Fire Fleet, and the Empire, and I also have a link to Starfleet Command as well there.
Well, I hope everybody goes and checks out an organization. Lou, especially you. You sound like a big Trek fan. It sounds like you need to get involved in something.
You bet.
Well, he is an honorary member of the Gorkon, but I can't get him to do correspondence with me.
Don't ever get to talk to him, do you?
You mean on the Gorkon, ussgorkon.com?
No, the ship.
Oh, the ship. Okay. We'll
belong
talk
to my
that.
Club. We'll I've been trying to get him to join my club, but I can't get him to do it.
Oh, okay. We'll talk about that later. All right. Take care.
Well, if you guys want to have another show on education, I'd love to listen in and hopefully contribute some more.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, have a cross discussion on which is better education system, Klingon or Federation.
Sure.
Okay, we'll try that someday. All right.
The teaching approach to the hands-on approach.
Yeah. The only problem is you in the Klingon society, you can't get sued for teaching the child. Whereas ours...
No. No, you don't get sued for not teaching the child. You get killed for not teaching the child.
No. In the Klingon society, teaching the child would be very painful, the type of thing that would get you sued in the human society.
No, it isn't. Believe it or not, the Klingon education system is almost basically the same as the Federation, except for one different. The only difference is that where the Federation teaches technology and psychiatry and philosophy, mm-hmm. okay, Klingons teach more of hand-to-hand combat, military training, small unit tactics, and combat logistics.
So it's like going to the Naval Academy. You get your general education.
Yeah, basically. But, basically.
Also, yeah.
You still get the basic technical.
Sorry. Did it again. Anyway, yeah, and you, yeah, Klingon school. And you think your lunchroom is crazy, huh? Hmm.
Oh, how would you like to have to go hunt for your supper?
Yeah, really? There you go.
You want to eat during the day? You gotta have to go out and kill your own targ.
There you go. Next complaint about the cafeteria food, and that's what you're gonna have to do. All right. Take it easy, buddy.
Thanks a lot for having me, guys, and I look forward to the future.
All right. Kapla.
Kapla.
All right. Well, now, Brian, since we let Eric go, that was a pretty good interview. Do you like that?
Yeah, tell me about it. We haven't had fresh meat here for a while.
That is true. We do need to get some more people we want to interview. And so far, I'm up to one more user on the forums, so we may hit our 10th user, the person who wants to be interviewed, by, I'd probably guess around April of 2012. So, we're doing good, and so all of y'all here.
Hey, maybe I gotta sign up for the forum now and be the 10th one.
That may be the point. I guess maybe everybody's thinking they want to wait off until they get to 10, but the problem is they'll never know if they've gotten to 10. So now that you know there's only one, come on, folks. And I don't even think that person heard the show. So, but that's a different story. That was it. All right. Well, this is going to bring us to the end of our show. And remember that song that I played at the beginning when I did the intro?
Yeah.
Well, instead of doing an independent artist music song, I'm gonna play that full song. But one thing I am going to say, this is going to be heard by Mrs. Miller and Mrs. Adams. If either of you intend to play this in the class, which I don't know why you would, but which if you do, I'm probably going to highly edit this show. Right, Brian?
Right. Yep, always edit.
Always edit. This song, even though the first part of it sounds really good, the back part of it is highly religious. So I'm going to warn anybody who's not a religious fan, cut it off here. Because I like this song. It's a very cute song, but it's highly religious. So,
what do you mean by religious?
No, I mean religious.
Define religious.
You'll understand. It's basically, it's all talking about God and Jesus. But the first part of the song is what really caught my attention. The back part, man, just don't play this in a public school system and you'll be fine. We can play it here because, you know, we're not the school. So, but anyway.
Yeah, we're religious friendly, too.
Well, this is called Teacher, Will You Love Me? And give it a listen, and I'll find out who actually sang this song, because I forgot to do that. Give it a listen. We'll be right back.
Teacher, do you love me?
That was Teacher, Do You Love Me? And from what I can gather about it, this basically was a missionary tribute. But again, we're not condoning any religion here, because in Star Trek time, there's no such thing. Is there?
I don't know. That's a book I don't want to open quite yet.
I got a feeling you're right there, because there have been instances of religion. I mean, let's look at DS9. The whole series was based on a religion. So,
in more than one way, there was a lot of Klingon religion. There was a lot of Bajoran religion.
Yep.
In fact, the Bajoran religion was part of the reason why they had some of the problems at DS9, too. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, it was a little bit too much of the Kai and stuff. But, again, like you said, that's a debate for another time. So, Brian, thank you for another good show.
Oh, no problem. Glad to be on and glad to work. Sorry about last week.
What was last week? We were here.
Or 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, yes. I ended up doing a season review.
A solo show.
Yes, it was. It was a solo show.
And I feel bad when I do that to you, because it's not intentional or nothing. It's just, once in a while, I get those migraine headaches, and when I get them, I'm basically a useless SOB.
And you might as well stay in bed. That's perfectly fine, so don't worry about it. Okay, everybody.
I worry about it because we got fans that expect certain people to be on at a certain time, and you know how Klingons are. We like to honor our duties and responsibilities. You know what I mean?
True that. I hear
so
you.
So it's kind of like, I kind of feel bad because it felt like I was shucking my responsibilities, as they say.
Ah, okay. Well, next time we'll kill you. Okay. All right. Well, then, you want to go ahead and hit engage warp drive, please?
Engage, number one.
All right. Well, hey, everybody, thank you for showing up and listening tonight. Again, LootTrekShow.com. Follow us on Twitter by going to LootTrekShow.com/Twitter. Send us some comments, folks. We want to know what you think. Everyone take care.
And good night.
Kapla.
Kapla.